A mother was preparing pancakes for her two sons, Kevin, 5, Ryan, 3, and the boys started fighting over who would get the first pancake. That doesn't happen at your house. The mother thought, this is a great teaching moment. And so she said, boys, if Jesus was here, he would be patient and let the other person have the pancake first. And so Kevin, the older of the two, said, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. Many times, things do not play out the way we hope or want. So we need to adjust in the midst of the difficult circumstances. Where do we turn on those days of grief and disappointment that find its way to our home and to our hearts? Let's pray. Jesus, we pray for courage to be able to walk through the challenges that are daily before us. We want to be open to you and others in being able to honestly evaluate our hearts. We want to lean on your grace and mercy when the way becomes hard. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text comes from Amos today. I've been preaching out of the Old Testament book, Minor Prophet of Amos, chapter 5, verse 1 to 17. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to explain it. Amos 5. Hear this word that I take up over you in a lamentation, O house of Israel. Fallen no more to rise is maiden Israel, forsaken on her land with no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that marched out 1,000 shall only have 100 left, and that which marched out 100 should only have 10 left. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. But do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire. It'll devour Bethel, and no one to quench it. O you, turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. The one who made Pleiades and Orion and turns deep darkness into morning and darkens the day into night. Who calls the water of the sea and pours it out on the surface of the earth? The Lord is his name. Who makes destruction flash out against the strong so that destruction comes upon the fortress? They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take them from levies of grain, you have built your house of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink the wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it's an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you've said. Hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, in all squares there shall be wailing. In the streets there shall say, alas, alas. And they shall call the farmers to mourning, and the skilled lamentation to wail. In all the vineyards there shall be wailing, for I'll pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. I think most parents are surprised and a little overwhelmed at the birth of their first child. There's no question that a miracle has happened, and this little creature enters our world, bearing the image or markings of their parents. Just as the baby begins to discover and explore the new world, so are their parents in trying to care for them. Through the years, you will hear they have Uncle Sam's chin or Cousin Becky's mouth. They have characteristics that affirm they're part of some family clan. The nation of Israel was to have a similar markings or similarities to the one true God. The Lord raised Israel from obscurity. Out of Abraham and Sarah came the descendants of millions. God's handprints of care and devotion were all over his people. They became a people that symbolized and represented what it meant to be devoted to the one true God. But then things changed, like they do sometimes with their own children. Sometimes our children take twists in the road, kind of veering off the path that we had hoped or dreamed for them. Israel has literally abandoned their maker. They have continued doing religious activities, but their hearts are far from God. It's like they've allowed their spiritual house to go into disrepair, slapping the odd coat of paint to cover up what's underneath. What does this loving father do? He keeps calling these he loves back into relationship with himself. God is longing for the relationship to be reconciled and restored. But there's one thing he will not do for the people of Israel. He will not force them into a relationship. They will need to choose willingly to want him as their God and they as his people. In the Old Testament, it was very clear that the favor of the Lord was evident and revealed through physical blessing. But even when such goodness disappeared, it seemed to have no impact or awakening on Israel. They were unable to recognize the distance they had created with God. In fact, it often led them to question God's faithfulness, wanting to shift the blame to anyone but themselves. Sometimes we have prodigal sons and daughters in our lives. Other times, we are the prodigal sons and daughters. Every step we take, every choice we make, brings us either closer to God or creates distance. This morning, are we running from God or moving toward him? Today's prophetic oracle from the prophet Amos is a song of lament. To lament is to grieve and deeply sorrow for a loss. The specific poem originates from the predicament that Israel is presently caught in. Verse 1, we hear the indictment against Israel from God. Hear this word, O house of Israel. Verse 2, fallen no more to rise is a maiden of Israel, forsaken on her land with no one to raise her up. In the strength of youth, Israel will be struck down. At the prime of their lives, the Lord will abandon them. Have you ever noticed that no matter how sick a person may be, there's always hope as long as they're alive? But once we're dead, we're dead. What is shocking about Amos's prophetic words is that he speaks like they're already dead. Those who represent Israel have fallen, and there's no one to lift them up, no one to raise them up, no one to even bury their dead corpses. The funeral is happening before the nation's body is in the coffin. There's no one else to rescue Israel, and so there's no hope. Verse 3, for thus says the Lord God, the city that marched out 1,000 will only have 100 left, and that which marched out 100 will only have 10 left. How would you like to be a part of that army, where you only have a 10% chance of making it out alive? These are not good odds. Verse 4 and 5, for thus says the Lord, the house of Israel, seek me and live. But do not seek Bethel or enter Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile and Bethel will come to nothing. Bethel, Gilgal, and Beersheba were the places set up for the nation of Israel to worship. But the problem was the nation's worship was false. In times of trouble, the people would run back to these former places of sanctuary, much like we would reconnect with the church community today. But there won't be any help at the former place of worship. The religious rituals would not save them because they're missing out on the whole purpose, and that was a relationship with God. We can sing, we can read, we can pray, we can wear gold crosses and still be far from the Lord in our desire to change and grow in our relationship with him. Verse 6, seek the Lord and live, or he'll break out against the house of Joseph like fire. It'll devour Bethel with no one to quench it. When you're in trouble, seek God. When your friend is in trouble, encourage them to seek God. The Lord is the only one who's able to fix the gigantic brokenness in our lives and world. The next section, verse 7 to 10. Verse 7. All you that bring justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. And now going down to verse 10. They hate the one who reproves them in the gate. They abhor the one who speaks truth. Who is the prophet speaking to here? It's the people and nation who are taking advantage of their friends, their neighbors, and their relatives. They play outside the rules to their own advantage, and there is no justice because the whole system is rigged in their favor. They're cheating their way to abundance, and every voice that cries out with injustice, they silence. Anyone on the side of truth becomes an enemy. Verse 8 and 9. The one who made Pleiades or Orion, the star constellations, and turns deep darkness into morning and darkens the day into night, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. Do you know the answer? The Lord is his name, who makes destruction flashes out against the strong, so that destruction comes against the fortress. The same God who made the world and created all that's in it is the same one who's going to confront these who have acted wickedly to their fellow man and woman. It may seem like they're getting away with it, but it'll be short-lived. Here one day, gone the next. Psalm 37, 1 and 2. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong, for like grass they soon fade away, like spring flowers, and they wither. The people who seem like they're running the world and the decision over our lives are not really in control. Ultimately, it's God who is. Amos 5, verse 11, 12. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take levies for grain, basically stealing the grain from them, you have built a house of stone, but you'll never live in them. You have planted vineyards, but you won't drink the wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflicted the righteous and take bribes and push aside the needy in the gate. All the things these people are planning and conniving to get ahead with seems to be in place. But when they go to reap the rewards of their plunder, it'll be gone like a vapor. How much further did Ben Johnson get by when cheating at the Olympics? Or Lance Armstrong cycling? Or Barry Bonds in baseball? They all wanted a lasting legacy of greatness, but instead their legacy has become that of liars and cover-up artists and destroyed anyone who got in their way. Instead of fame, their family name has become infamous. Verse 13 to 15, therefore, or because the time is so wicked, the prudent will keep silent. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord God of hosts will be with you. Verse 15. Just as you have said, hate evil, love good, and establish justice at the gate, it may be the Lord God of hosts will show mercy to a remnant of Joseph. Sometimes when it can seem like all around are cheating, at work, at school, and getting away with it. So we might as well do the same so we can get ahead. But Amos is calling those who want to live right by God's standards to hold the line, to not give in, but to stay strong. And in return, they may know the mercy of God. We are to help preserve a culture that is rotting away morally and living by the tune of a different drummer, by acting honorably and doing what's right, no matter what the people around us are doing. There are few things as refreshing as the mercy of God in our lives. Verse 16 and 17 end the passage by affirming the prophet's words that the time of sorrow is upon them. Therefore, they'll be wailing in the streets. They'll call the farmers in to mourn, those skilled at mourning, and in the vineyards they'll be wailing. There were people who were actually paid as professional mourners in this time period. Could you imagine how it would look on your resume? Professional crier. Ultimately, there'll be no place in Israel's kingdom that they'll not know loss and grief. I've mentioned previously that my dad died suddenly when he was at work when I was 18 years old. There are many emotions that I was hit by, like shock, uncertainty, confusion. Fast forward about 16 years, I'm married, have two little boys and a little girl, and Carrie's dad was diagnosed with incurable cancer. We were living next to Carrie's parents, and so for parts of a year, we'd go every day, pray and talk. Even though I had walked through this with my own dad, I was still not prepared for my father-in-law's death. It was different. Instead of instant, here one day, gone the next, it was prolonged suffering, wasting away. As Abe was walking through all the stages the cancer brought on, I was grieving. There was both sorrow for what was and what was yet to come. In essence, daily losses that were leading to a permanent loss. Not wanting him to be in pain anymore, yet wanting access. Relieved at his final breath, yet sad that we would not be reunited until Christ's return. I found many times in that year that my emotions were right at the top. I would have cried if a cat got hurt. I'm not deeply attached to cats. In the same way that we grieve in a prolonged death, this is what's going on or what's happening to the nation of Israel because of their choosing to walk away from the one true God. The prophet Amos is hoping to somehow shake the nation of Israel out of their sleep, slumber spiritually. He's trying to awaken them to turn to reality of the desperation of their own souls. For those who accurately perceived the depth of Israel's moral bankruptcy, there was only one legitimate way to respond. Much like when God was using the prophet Jonah to declare judgment on the wicked city of Nineveh because of their atrocities. What did the people of Nineveh do with this message from God? Their foreign pagan king and his people deeply repented and were sorrowful for their actions. They fasted, wore sackcloth, and put ashes on their heads, communicating brokenness and humility. They even put sackcloth on their animals and had them fast too. And what did God do in response as they cried out for mercy? The Lord heard them and forgave them. Upon hearing these words of doom, Israel should immediately have been driven to their knees, responding in kind, with weeping, grieving, and lamenting. If someone came with a message from God, pleading for your family to change its ways and to turn toward God, what would you do? You see, God is pursuing all of us, young and old, rich and poor, man and woman. But some will choose to ignore the voice of the Lord and continue on in their path of destruction. You see, God has blessed each one of us with the gift of free will. So each of us will have a say in our own destiny with God and eternity. Amos the prophet's words were echoing a horrific foreshadowing that was coming down the pipe upon the nation of Israel. Is there any way to escape the tragic ending? There is, but it seems highly unlikely the people of Israel will take it. They seem stuck in a rut of selfishness and destruction. There's a complete blindness or lack of self-awareness in their cruelty and in their distance from God. So where is the hope as we attempt to sift through the ashes of the upcoming disaster? It seems like there might be a remnant, a few who are willing to stand against the wicked tide that is sweeping all around them. The glimmer of hope in the passage is found in the repetition. In verses 4 and 6, seek the Lord and you will live. And then again in verse 14, seek good and you will live. Sometimes you might be the remnant, one of the few who are following the way of the cross, at your work, school, or in your family. No matter how difficult and discouraging it may be, always remember that Jesus is with you. He's for you. In life, our circumstances and situations can change if we invite God into the equation. When the Spirit of God begins speaking into our lives about changes that He wants to bring within our interior, how do we respond? With receptivity or rejection? With an open heart, with a closed heart? God loves us and wants to move us off the destructive path we're heading on. Will we trust Him enough to heed, or will we go forward and choose to be deaf to the voice of the Lord? The people of Nineveh were a great example of a people who humbled themselves. Israel also an example of those who chose to harden themselves. God's hope is that each of us would respond in gentleness and humility and then listen to what the Lord will do for us. This is Psalm 30, 11 and 12. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come and be our guide in the darkness. Be our deliverer when we're stuck. Come be our refuge when there does not seem to be a way of escape. Keep us close to you when the cares of life want to pull us away. We want our hearts to remain soft to the direction of your Holy Spirit. Come and have your way in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound.
Couple announcements. If you want prayer today, back corner, while we're singing stuff, you can get prayer today. I want to say for those of you who have kids in the service, your kids are fantastic. They handled everything very, very well. A couple of reminders, we have youth this week, 7 at the church as well. We're still looking for some leaders for summer jam for our groups, both youth and adult. There's a sign-up sheet at the back. We're going to have a picnic today. And how you get there, there's a variety of ways. But in the back of church, we have lots of grass. And if you get out one of the doors, go for the grass. And there's chairs set up there. There'll be all different type of food. So what happens is in these events is we'll bring food, and then I have to bring some food home. And then Carrie will say, did they not like my food? And I have to say, no, they loved your food. There was just so much food that they couldn't eat it all. So please, whether you knew we had a picnic today or not, come and eat and allow you to actually build some friendship and relationship with different ones you might not know. I'm going to do the benediction, then I'm going to pray for the food, then we're going to sing one more song, and then you'll be dismissed. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing it's Jesus and only Jesus that can take our ashes and turn them into joy. Let's pray. God, we recognize again today, and echoing Thea's words, your breath of life that you've breathed into each one of us this morning, we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the things you've done, are doing, and will do. We thank you for this food and the blessing and favor on our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Another quick reminder, too, if after the service is over, you feel the need to stay here and pray for whatever, there is a team at the back corner. Feel free to stay. Please stand with us. You are good. You are good when there's nothing good in me. You are love. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in joy, you are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your to your arms. everybody. Have a great lunch.
My heart will sing.